This meeting is now being recorded.
So religion, in fact, what it is, it's a way back to God. That's all. Nothing else. And we have considered to be something else. Religion, in fact, is a way back to God, or a link, linking the soul with God, the old soul. That religion is blessed, it turns out such like that. Pity it is that we have forgotten what our scripture says. As long as the practical people knew the ideal before them, and they also were competent to give them some demonstration of that, how to know oneself, to know God. For want of them, the same good old custom corrupted itself, as I spoke to you before. And ever since this paid preaching has started in all regions, have cut blind leads you blind and both falls in the ditch. I am not quoting you somewhere else. From the scriptures I have quoted. That are our scriptures. So we are fortunate in the 20th century that we have got scriptures. All masters who came in the past so far. So there is hardly now a man to tell us how to write in the body. In all regions you find they preach outward things, customs, rituals, how to maintain, say prayers, this and that, this is our role to do. First step. If a man does not remain in any ism, then there will be corruption. So man is a social being, he must remain in some social body. But to remain therein, we should rise above them and see what is the basic teaching of all religions. And basic teaching of all religions is said, but I am quoting you. So spirituality is another name of, I may say, is sociable yoga. What is sociable yoga, you know? It is just spiritual life consists in peeling off layer by layer the various koshas or feet, physical, astral and causal, until it shines forth in its pristine splendor. Self-luminosity. God is light, all he is given is full light. Who sees the full light is the Khalsa, is the true Hindu, is the true Mahamudan, is the true Christian. Then you know, I am so. I and my Father are one. Man has taken the same color of God. In Sanskrit they say, Tattvam Asi. You see, from Asmi. So, these are the things to be realized. O Nanak, what is say? He is the mouthpiece of God. Such like people, they become the mouthpiece of God. They speak as inspired by God. So, in all things, Guru Nanak says that do not utter any word except inspired by God. God is I said man. So Malarum says, God has given order to the prophet. He says that, look here, I am so great that all this creation, universe is created by are not sufficient to contain me. High heavens, low heavens, I also, but strange enough, I contain myself in the heart of a saint. Did you want to see me go in there? Where I am manifested. So these are the things, you see, that is given to us by all masters before us. So Christ said, I and my Father are one. All the things are delivered to me of my Father. I am in the Father. And I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words I speak of unto you, I speak of not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. What more is that? All of this Master said the same thing. I am the mouthpiece of God. I and my Father are one. I simply speak as inspired by God. They are conscious co-worker of the divine plan. They see that power is working. I am not. I am mere mouthpiece. So it is the fundamental law of God that no one can move Godward without the help of his Sadguru, of the Master. This Guru Ramdas says. As Christ said, nobody can go to the Father except through me. So these are no new things given by one or the other. All Masters say the same thing. Smaller rooms say, who are they such like Masters? They are the godly souls clothed in human bodies and come with God's knowledge. They come from unknown places. What to do? To take back souls back to God. Yes. Working like that. You know what Christ did say? I have come to separate daughter from the mother, to separate husband from the wife, sisters from the brothers. I have come not to make world happy, but I have come to take all these back home. When he was going down, our master once went to, did not go to the hills. It was very hot season. And nearly every year he wanted to go to the hill station. I was there and just asked him, it is very hot here. Would it not be better you go to the hills as usual? He said, the Muslim people think perhaps I go there to enjoy the cold over there. I simply go, the men from all over India come over there. Those you are seeking, they may be led astray. So they come. Dinna Christ said, I have yet many sheep to look after. They come to bring back all children of God to home. But, so, he remains ever with you, whether you live or die. Such a man. When you die, he won't leave you. Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. Isn't it? Even at the place of reckoning, he shall stand by thy side. So all your accounts are transferred from the Lord of Judgment to the Master who is God in man. So such a one, it is a great blessing to a living Master who will be with you in this earthly life and also won't leave you when you leave this man body. You will be young. Who can do so, only take the hem of such a one. So, when you cross over the star, sun, moon, the luminous form of Master, manifested to take in charge of the soul and takes it on the higher plane, you see, unless you are born in you, you cannot enter the kingdom. So this is what I meant when I say, you are on probation, you see. Led further by that God into his special radiant form of the water within you. So as long as spirit does not rise above the body consciousness, he remains stranger to the spiritual realm beyond. That's the first step. Where the world's last is end, there the religion starts. And that inner way is the same for all. Whether you wear one form, one level of one region or the other, that makes no difference. So everything is within the body, nothing without it. He who seeks without wanders in delusion. Those who go to such a master, they always like to go within you. Our master, you see, why Tell somebody you go, when they will take you along with you. So it is a very definite way, inner way. One has been with all masters who came before. So all that we see is great optical illusion. We are identified with body. You see, body is changing, being of matter. All world around us is changing at the same speed. As you are identified with it, we consider it all stationary. When everything changes, when you rise above us, you see the world in its right perspective. So that is why masters have all been advising like that. But please know yourself, who you are, what you are. So this is the main subject, purpose of coming into the world. Unless we know ourselves, we cannot know God. So, God is world. You think world as God when came into being, it is called world. World is the cause of all creation. God is nameless when it came into being, to expression this is God now. So God is, what is God? It is God is love and God is divine, all divine. So master is world made flesh. When such masters come, they come with overflowing with the love of God and divinity of God. They come by radiation to all people at large. Those who sit in the field of action of the radiation, they are blessed. So they come, they bring the religion of love and no new religion. All masters who have come, they gave up the same thing. Christ said, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. This also, you see, Kabir said the same thing. Tenth Guru, while addressing to all communities, tells them, well, hear me all, I tend you the toast, but those you love, they alone can know God. So by Saint Paul said, by love one and by love serve one another. One who serves his fellow loves God truly, otherwise not. He says, I love God and does not love the God into creating power working in the world, then how can he say he loves God whom he has not seen? So he prayeth best who loveth best. You know, because love is one-pointed, single-minded, pointed attention. With whom you love, that's a single mind. Nothing else interferes with that. When you're loving God, naturally all other thoughts, foreign thoughts don't affect you. A man who loves somebody, he's sitting maybe hundreds of people, but his whole attention is there with whom he loves. So such a man, while in the world, is in the world, yet out of it. He is not of the world. So for that reason, God is love and love is God, and the way back to God is also through love. If God resides in every heart, we are all of the same essence as that of God, then if you want to meet God, what should you do? Should you torment those men? Whom you want, he also resides there. So love knows service and sacrifice. There are greater heinous crimes in the world, heinous sin, one greater than the other. Maharajan says, you may drink. Drinking is the mother of all evils. That's very sick, great sin. There's still more greater sin than that. You burn away all scriptures of the world. Of course, that is a very great sin. And still more, there is a greater sin than that. Burn all places of worship. And if with all these, there is still more greater than sin. Don't torment anyone. So love knows service and sacrifice. God is love. And naturally, when you come to give this religion of love, love knows service, and also need be to sacrifice ourselves for that. Tenth Guru says, those who want to play the game of love, they should lay their hands on their palms and come forward. Who can sacrifice themselves? They can only meet God. We sacrifice God for the sake of the world. One man went to a sadhu. He prayed, your gate, you have renounced the world, you are outside the world, like that. We prayed him very much. And he said, look here, you are the great one who has sacrificed God for the world. And we have sacrificed only world for God. Who is the greater man who has renounced the world? Naturally, you are. So masters say like that, you see, service. If we love all, naturally, what will happen? Whom we love, we never think of harming. If he's hungry, you try to share with him. If he's naked, you would like to give him clothes. Even at the sacrifice of your own self. The more you love him, the more you can make sacrifice. And if you love God, can we not make sacrifice for those in which he resides? So truly speaking, those who say he love God and hate the people all around, then he's a liar. There's a parable to go, to show in the scriptures or the Puranas of the Hindus. Masters speak sometimes through parables and sometimes straight talk. By parables is given to those who are not very great understanding, but to bring home that all these things they give. Told the Lord which you invited all gods and goddesses as well as those anti-gods for a banquet. Food was served and they are made to sit, gods in their rows and the anti-gods in another row. And the food was served, Lord which you stood up. Look here, gentlemen, all this is food for you. Eat to your heart's content. But one condition is there, you should not bend your elbow to bring the food in your mouth. How can you bring food to your mouth? Anti-gods considered, but they said, Lord Vishnu has played a mockery. They put the food and it doesn't allow us to eat. They left the scene, discussed it. The gods were there, they considered that the words coming out of Lord Vishnu must be some meaning behind it, which you do not know. When considering calmly, they came to know why to bring back to plate up. So they had gone, all were fed to be at home. Purpose is, you see, if we want to make us happy, our own self, we must make others happy. Everybody wants to make others happy, naturally everybody is happy. If you won't allow anybody to die of hunger, you won't die of hunger. So love knows service and sacrifice. This is what. So best of all, you see, all these holy places of worship, they are putting some symbols of God in them to be worshipped. You see? These are symbols of God. Or in their churches, their temples, their other holy places of worship, they are often made out of model of man body. They put in two symbols of light and sound. God is light and God is music of the spheres, nada. Now those are the models, whether it's a church or a temple or any other place, they are all equally situated. They are models made out of man body. And which is the true body? True temple of God, the man body. Almighty Self. That was given to outside people for the beginners to know that such like sound is such like music of the spheres reverberating within you. When the master met, they gave them a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness and open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ear to hear the voice of God. So God sent man with seals on their eyes and ears. And they come back in the form of manpole, and they go and break the eye. Seals on the eyes, they begin to see, and then they begin to hear. So that is why Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. And those who see, they may be blind. It is attention only which gives all light outside. So truly speaking, you see, one truth is work in all. Basic teaching of all. This is our narrow-mindedness for want of the truth, not knowing the truth, that all the differences have been made between man and Brahman, high class and low class. God made equal freedom to everybody. He did not make any high or low. Born the same way, same soul, or the same essence as that of God, and the same power of God we worship. So they, when they come to say, well, God, whether you call it maker cow, or he is merciful, or this and that, these are all go to express that God power which is controlling all creation, and we worship him. The man who is living in the true temple of God, which is the man body, he goes to the temples made after the model of man, put in symbols of light from there. That is for the beginners. But those who already realize this truth within us, they have respect for other things for the beginners, but it doesn't behove a man in whom that light is effulgently. You see, doesn't already tell them, well, look at this light is within you, you just wake up. So masters, those who are risen above this in body conscience, they see the truth and give it to the people at large. So man should, for that purpose, what is required. For that purpose required ethical life, life of self-restraint, true living. Our earning should be on it, and our food should be, I mean, pacifying giving, and also correct and good. So the word religion means apparently to link man with God. That's the ultimate of all yoga. And Guru Arjan gives out very clearly, the highest of all religions is what? To be true, man of true living and know God. No difference what labels he is carrying. That is why among the Hindus, Sikhs, the temple, golden temple made, arranged at Amritsar, the headquarters of all Sikhism. You know, foundation stone was laid out by whom? By the Mohammedan saint. When they arrived to that, where is the Hindu or Mohammedan question? The labels don't carry anything. So Guruji, what did he do? He collected as much things of the masters of the past as he could, about 60-70, and put it all in the six scriptures that we respect all, those in whom God manifested and they came to awaken the mankind. So what was the purpose? The whole object was to unite all mankind in the silken bond of love and not create schism. We are all one. Now, scriptures of particular master you will find in their own books. But six scriptures you will find they have contained about 60, more than 60 saints, in that, who God loves. So they come to create love within us for God. They are overflowing with the love of God. You might have heard the Moses went to a wilderness. There was one shepherd. He was looking after the sheep out there. He was praying, God, oh God, love knows no love, mind that. Oh God, had you been hungry, I would have given the milk of the sheep to you to drink. Had you felt cold, and I would have taken off the wool of the sheep and made of the cloth to give you to warm yourself. And he went on like that. Then Moses passed by that place. Oh, heretic, what are you talking? Does God drink milk? And he was others. Quite a back, so why have disrespected God? Then he began to cry. Why crying? He went within himself and God met him. Look here, I will drink your milk also. I will wear your clothes also. And then Moses went to the inner context. He said, oh, Moses, you were sent to those, connect those people who are separated from me, not those who are already linked to you, separated. Go and ask for forgiveness. So such is the way, see, Master comes to unite all these two within us. And then Guru says, when once this ignorance is dispelled, all distinctions between one religion or the other will drop. We are all children of God. We are having one label and that makes no difference. So my point is, so long as spirit does not rise above body consciousness, he remains stranger to the spiritual world beyond. The outer, there are two sides, you see, of the outer knowledge, one objective, the other is esoteric side. Objective side only meant for the preparation of the ground. The real thing is to know oneself, to rise above body consciousness, where the ABC starts. Such men, when they go around, they radiate love to all. And even the animals and the snakes don't harm them. So this is the teaching on the Master. This is what is called spirituality. A man be having one label, the other, that makes no difference, you see. He is overflowing love for God and for humanity. Master come with divine nature. They give us an idea of beautiful being of God. So such like masters have been coming from time to time in all countries. When they came, they awakened them to the truth of God. By well study of all the scriptures we've seen, they say the same thing. The basic teaching of all has been the same. For want of practical people, and excuse me, ever since this faith preaching has started in all religions, ignorance has corrupted. So Master come, all right, you remain, you are up, they don't look to your labels that you're carrying. They say, oh man, oh soul, you're all equal in the sight of God, no height, no low, and rise to yourself, to your own God within you. And man body is the golden opportunity that you got for that. So much of the time has already left. You were sitting here, I think, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. How far we have succeeded in this spirituality. So spirituality above all, you see. To be born in a temple is good. But while remaining in temples, you will understand the basic teaching which is one for all. Otherwise, if you stick to the watertight compartments of all, that will give you what you say, narrow-mindedness. So Master come, they are free, they make you free. When you find here, how blessed you feel, you see? All world outside mountains look like small mounds. High buildings look like little huts. So when you rise above God, you see the whole angle of vision is changed. The Master come to give us this in the world, you see, to make the best use of the man body we are in. blessed you are joined some school of thought, that's good, that's the first step. That also demands us to have an ethical life, to be help of others. And the Hindus, what they do, you know, they give, you see, when they say certain rituals, they share the something for the animals, something for the birds, something for the reptiles. This is their custom, you see. So blessed you have got the man body, and it is a high time to make the best use of that. Be spiritual. Remain in it. You may have any label you like. That is meant only to make the spiritual. To know the spirit in you. You are spiritual. You are spirit in God.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the last half of Master's evening talk on November 13th, 1972, in San Francisco. Our reader this morning is Leslie McIntosh. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Master's talk this morning will be from his book, Morning Talks. We'll be finishing up chapter 24, The True Service of God, or God in Man, and then reading chapter 25, Righteousness, Detachment, Self-Restraint. And if there's time, we'll begin chapter 26. We'll begin with Master's invocation. Supreme Lord of the universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord, and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. Beginning with Morning Talks, chapter 24, The True Service of God, or God in Man. Pick up where I left off last time. So today's subject is about those who have been initiated by the God in Man through His grace. They should develop what they have been given by observing regular precautions or restrictions so that they may develop within and meet the radiant form of the Master and talk to Him heart to heart. This is one aspect. The second aspect is that sometimes you are selected for a job. What is his job? To bring all children together, to bring all children of God together. You should prove yourself as an example to other people. An example is better than precept. If you have been given a job in his mission, then you should do it, whether here under his direct supervision or anywhere. Those who have been selected for one purpose or another are most fortunate, but they should perform their duties with no assertion of ego in them. They should do it just to please the Master, with no view to compensation or return. It is for the Master to give what he wishes, what a man is fit for, what he thinks best for him. When you give service to such a God in man, naturally you will be compensated. What compensation will he give you? He will first free you from the world and then unite you with God forever. if the God in man wishes good of yours, then I think that it is God who wishes good of yours. Those who are initiated are done so by the special grace of God. The purpose of initiation is for our soul to go back to the lap of our Father through the light and sound principle which emanates from absolute God. Further special grace is given when an initiate is selected for some job to help carry on the work. It is those who want to be nearer to the Master who are given some special job to do, some duty to perform. If the person to whom the job is given does it selflessly, with no ego in him, it will bear forth fruit. When you see that everything goes according to the will and pleasure of the Master, then naturally, you will be one with him. You will have no will of your own. His will is your will, and his will is God's will. So each one of you should be thankful that you have been initiated. You have been put on the way back to absolute God. When he has selected you for some particular duty, you are still more fortunate, but perform it with full faith, devotion, and selflessness. If you do this, what will he give you? He will give you his very own place. Guru Har Gobind, the sixth guru of the Sikhs, once asked somebody to recite from the Japji, which is part of the Guru Granth Sahib, the scriptures, the scripture of the Sikhs. He said, "Whoever will recite this with single-minded attention may ask me for his heart's desire. But there should be no other thought intervening. It must be done with single-minded attention." So one man began to recite from the Japji. He went on with single-minded attention, and when he was coming near to the end of the recitation, he thought of a very beautiful horse that had been given to the Master and wished for it. At the close of the recitation, he spoke up and asked for the horse. The Master gave him the horse and then said to him, "Well, look here. If you had not wanted that horse, I would have given you my very own, I would have given my very own seat to you." You follow me? Those who work selflessly with single-minded attention will become one with the Master. The Master wants to bring you to one with himself. Those who want something else, well, that is given, of course, but selfless service for the Master is the highest good fortune, I would say. But who does it? He to whom God sends his grace. So first of all, you are fortunate to have been initiated. Those who have been selected to work in his mission and have direct contact with him are still more fortunate. But it should be selfless, mind that. There should be no assertion of self. Because of the self or ego coming in, instead of deriving full good, you derive little or no good. So be thankful that you have been given initiation. Those who derive full benefit by doing service sometimes think that they are above the Master. You may be as good as the Master, that's another thing, but you cannot be above him. It is the assertion of yourself that causes you to exceed your position. The result is that one who acts in this manner will not derive full benefit. The servant is the Lord, and the Lord is the Lord. if the Lord does not accept your service, then can you force him? Sometimes we don't derive the full benefit by what we were given at the time of initiation. By living close to the Master, even then we don't derive the full benefit. So in order to derive the full benefit of initiation in whatever service you may have been given, you must work in a selfless manner with single-minded devotion. By doing it in this way, you will become one with the Master. Chapter 25 of Morning Talks, Righteousness, Detachment, Self-Restraint. Zoroaster once asked, "What is wanted to know God?" He said, "Righteousness." He was then asked, "What is righteousness?" He replied, "Good thoughts, good words, and good deeds." The whole thing depends upon your attention, or surat, as it is called, which is the outward expression of your soul. Wherever you keep it engaged or attached, those very thoughts will always be reverberating within you. We have to make the best use of things, of course, but we are not to become attached to them. If we can only attach our soul to something higher within us, we would be all right. But if our attention is diverted through the outgoing faculties, so much so that it becomes identified with the outer things, what is the result? You cannot withdraw your attention from them. It is a question of the attention or surat, whether you keep it engaged to the outside things or invert and attach it to your overself. So for that, you must see where you are driven away through the outgoing faculties of seeing, hearing, smelling, taste, and touch. These are the five outgoing faculties working through the five physical outlets. Unless these are withdrawn from outside, you will not be able to have some awareness of your own self or be able to contact the higher self or God within you, which is light and sound principle. So what is righteousness? It is not to attach yourself to outside. You are not to leave the world, of course, but you are to make the best use of the outward things. If you go to a garden, you enjoy the flowers and various plants. You may enjoy them the whole day and nobody will question you. But the very moment you cut the flowers, the gardener in charge will take you to task and report you to the police. So we are here to make the best use of all outward things, but not to be attached to them. We should make them a stepping stone to reach the higher self. If you are addicted or if you are addicted to or become identified with any enjoyments outside, so much so that you cannot even withdraw from them, then how can you invert and have that contact within you with God, which is given at the time of initiation? So these outer faculties should be under our control. Whenever we like, we should make the best use of them. But they should not drag us out. If you obey the Master literally, then he will make you the master of your own home. These outer faculties should serve as your servants, not as your masters. Now they drag you away, whether you wish it or not. Whatever you do, whether for one day, 2 days, 10 days, a month or two, naturally becomes a habit. Habit is strengthened into nature. If you want to go to one place and you are attached somewhere else, your mind will go one way while your feet will go the other way. You know now what is needed. God is within you, but unless you withdraw from outside, how can you contact him? If you are attached to outside things, you cannot withdraw from outside. If you leave this building, you are the same. When you leave this body, you are not changed. You are what you are now. After leaving the body, you cannot become a learned man. If you are attached here while living in the world, your attention will still be in the world even after leaving the body. Where will you go? Where it is attached, where you are attached. Where should we attach ourselves? The soul is a conscious entity. It should be attached to the overself, which is all consciousness, even in life. Then while remaining in the world, you won't be attached to the world. You will be in the world yet and yet out of it. When you leave the body, you will go to the feet of the Lord. So we must have control over all our outgoing faculties. We should be able to use them whenever we require, not be dragged outside. It is for this reason that the diaries are intended. You must know where you are attached. You are given some contact within by the grace of God. You see the light of God within you. You hear the sound principle. When you turn your whole attention to the sound current, it will, like a touchstone, drag you up. Even those who are given a contact with the Lord within will lose it if they do not keep their self restraint. Only if you have some control over yourself can you direct your attention wherever you like. So the first thing is that truth is above all, but true living is still above truth. An ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Remain where you are now. You must judge for yourself where you were before and where you are now. You will find that some initiates who have made progress but do not keep their diaries for self-introspection leave off their practices and become attached to outside things. Their progress is stopped, but in the eyes of others, they are very saintly. They are not true to their own self, nor to the God within them. What is the result? A man like this will weep inside, but in the eyes of others, he is a very good man. But the God within us sees what he is. Our life should be of self-restraint and good character. We should love God, and for the sake of the love of God, love all others. If you forget the Lord, then you are attached. You will go where you are attached. Now you see how important it is to maintain self-restraint. Make use of something when you want it. Now you are dragged irresistibly to outside things. You have to live in the world quite detached. When you want to use one faculty, use it. When you want to leave it, leave it. It is not so with you now. For that purpose, you are given a contact with the light and sound principle within you. When you get more bliss there, your outward attachments will be cut off. apparently you may be living in the world, but you won't be attached to the world. You will only be making the best use of it, just like a man who goes to a garden. He enjoys and returns when he wants to, at any time. Similarly, it is most important to have such a heart which is attached to God, not to the world. If you take poison, it will create trouble within you, so you should stop eating any more poison so that the other may be cleared. It is no use crying and still continuing to take more poison. What is the use? This poison that comes through the outgoing faculties. We receive impressions from outside through the eyes, ears, the tongue, by smelling and by touch. So we must have self-restraint. Such a man only can progress from day to day by regularity and also by self-introspection. This is most important. Your very soul, the outer expression, which is called attention or surat, if engaged outside, makes it impossible for you to see within. At the present time, I cannot see what is going on behind me. If I were attached to looking at the master in front, I would not dare or even care to look behind me. Unless I turn my face from this side to look at the other side, I cannot see what is going on there. If we invert our attention within, only then can we see. He is already waiting for us. Those who are initiated are given some capital to start with. By regular practice, self-introspection and self-restraint, they have to develop it more and more from day to day. You will get more bliss while still remaining in the world, but you will not be attached. So we should see where we stand and where we stood before, 2 years ago, a year ago. Generally, we see that we were better off before than now. Why? We should progress, so one must be true to one's own self. God is within you. The guru or the master power is within you. He is waiting for you, but you are attached outside. It does not mean that you should leave the world and go to the Himalayas. We have to learn swimming in water, not on dry land, and not only through intellectual wrestling. It is a training in which you are given something to start on within you. It is like the needle of a compass, which always points to the north. It is to be done while you are doing your work in the world. A true master does not advise you to leave the world, but remain in it and yet be not of it. A boat remains in the water, and you may be rowing in the boat, but be careful that the water does not enter the boat. Otherwise, you will be drowned. If the outward impressions are overflowing within you, you will be drowned in the water of the world and will have to come back again and again. So for that very reason, an initiate is given something to start with within him. If you will be regular in devoting time, you will be attached there. You will be in the world, yet out of it. For that, you have to be true to your own self. This is the main thing to be learned. If you will go on in that way, you will progress from day to day. If not, even if you have got something, that will be taken away from you, I would say. Our master used to give one example of a father who gave his children something to enjoy, just to make the best use of what he had given them. He gave 20 rupees to one of the children, to another he gave 10 rupees, and to a third he gave 5 rupees. The child to whom he gave 20 rupees made 40 from it. The second child to whom he gave 10 rupees made 20. And the third child to whom he gave 5 rupees just kept it and did not use it. So to the one who earns 20 more than what was given to him, the master gives something extra. Those who have been given something but just keep it are left with whatever they have been given by the master, but it is not increased. So generally, what do? We get something to start with and fritter it away by being attached to outside. The father will be pleased with the child who has made the best use of what has been given to him. If he becomes an honest man to be relied on, he will be given more and more. We find people who say, "We were very well off before, but not now." But why not now? We have made beggars out of our own selves, so we have to be careful. Self-introspection is most necessary. Those who do not keep it, their capital will be dwindled away. And that is the end of chapter 25 in Morning Talks. We'll conclude this master satsang with his saying, "Each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility." Thank you, Master, for this morning's satsang.
And thank you, Leslie, for reading for us from Morning Talks. And what were the chapters again?
The end of chapter 24, The True Service of God or God and Man, and all of chapter 25, Righteousness, Detachment, Self-Restraint.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We had 71 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.